This is a Kim Monson National News Briefing. Little Rock, Arkansas. On November 5, 2025, the Southwest Power Pool Board of Directors approved $8.6 billion in 2025. Integrated Transmission Plan, ITP Projects, a larger annual regional transmission organization, RTO. Package than the $7.7 billion Plan SPP's board approved the year before. Central to the portfolio, in SPP's own words, is the development of a regional 765 kilovolt backbone, an efficient, scalable solution for long-distance power delivery. That $8.6 billion sits on top of the $7.7 billion 2024 ITP, which the SPP board approved in October 2024, and which alone added more than 2,000 miles of new and upgraded transmission lines. SPP describes a single 765 kilovolt line as able to carry four times the power of a 345 kilovolt line while using less land and losing less energy over long distances. The organization frames the build-out as a response to demand. Electricity use across SPP's 14-state region, it says, is expected to double over the next decade, and even under conservative assumptions, SPP forecasts a 35% increase in demand. SPP projects 12 to 18 in benefits for every one invested through the 2025 ITP. The forcing function behind plans this big is federal. On May 13, 2024, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, issued Order No. 1920, the first major overhaul of regional transmission planning since Order No. 2000 in 2011. Order 1920 requires RTOs like SPP to develop at least three long-term scenarios using best available data inputs and no less than a 20-year transmission planning horizon, reassessed every 5 years. Order 1920A, issued November 24, expanded the role of state regulators, and Order 1920B followed on April 11, 2025. Crucially, Order 1920 tells transmission planners what to put into those 20-year scenarios. Seven mandatory factors include federal, state, local, and tribal laws on decarbonization and electrification, state-approved utility-integrated resource plans, and policy goals that affect long-term transmission needs. The rule also permits a cost allocation method, agreed to by the relevant state entities, that may allocate incremental costs to states with applicable laws, policies, and regulations that encourage or require the development or use of such resources. In plain language, states whose policies drive the build-out can be assigned more of the bill for the lines built to move their generation. That is the national framework. On the ground in Kansas, Machu, founder of Stand For the Land Kansas, told Kim Monson what it looks like at the fence line. Monson, introducing the segment, called it one of the biggest land grabs that I have ever seen with these industrial transmission lines. Machu agreed. And this isn't just Kansas, this is the entire Midwest. She said the lines SPP wants to build are 765 kilovolt lines. On air, she characterized the current as DC, though SPP's own description of the 765 kilovolt backbone places it in the extra high voltage alternating current class. The press release benchmarks the 765 kilovolt line against 345 kilovolt AC transmission and does not use the HVDC label. She also said the SPP footprint runs north to south of our country's borders, east to west, a broader characterization than SPP's 14-state Midwest to Plains territory. Her central ground-level claim is harder to dispute. Those solar fields will be thousands and thousands of farm ground acres, Machu said, taking out of food production. That impact is amplified by how Kansas taxes renewable generation. Under KSA 79-279-2711, all property, actually and regularly used predominantly to produce and generate electricity, utilizing renewable energy resources or technologies, is exempt from all property and ad valorem taxes. For applications filed after December 31, 2016, the exemption runs for the 10 taxable years immediately following the project's construction. Renewable resources are defined in the statute to include wind, solar, photovoltaic, biomass, hydropower, geothermal, and landfill gas. The mechanism is straightforward. counties set levies on a smaller taxable base, so the same cost of schools, roads, and sheriffs spreads across fewer taxpayers. Machu put it bluntly on the show. That property tax they're missing is being pushed to the regular guy. She cited State Department of Revenue paperwork that she said shows Kansas generated $5 billion in new property tax reassessment revenue in 2022 and roughly $7 billion the following year, figures that could not be independently verified from accessible state sources as of publication. The transmission lines themselves, separate from the generation, ride on a different statute. KSA 17618 authorizes electric corporations to appropriate land for transmission of power by electrical current with right-of-way for wires or cables that may be laid, carried, or stretched on through or over any land or lot. Any company holding a certificate of convenience as a public utility issued by the State Corporation Commission qualifies. That is the legal hook that makes eminent domain available to utilities building the SPP, approved lines once the Kansas Corporation Commission signs off on a route. SPP's own framing of what rides on those wires is more mixed than its critics allow. The November 2025 press release states that the 2025 ITP supports the interconnection of new generation resources and includes many dispatchable resources, such as natural gas units queued in SPP's generator interconnection study process. SPP's 2025 accredited generating capacity is 48.4% natural gas, 32.7% coal, 8.4% hydro, 3.0% nuclear, and 0.8% solar. Wind produced a larger share of actual 2025 energy, 36.7%, because wind runs when it runs and its capacity factor is high, but the nameplate mix is still majority thermal. The 765 kilovolt backbone per SPP is a general reliability investment, not a renewables-only export conduit. The scope claims about Kansas specifically come from Stand for the Land Kansas, not from SPP. The organization's homepage says 63 Kansas counties are targeted for 56 industrial solar, 46 industrial wind, and 27 battery storage projects, together producing 150,000 megawatts, in conjunction with the regional partner, the Southwest Power Pool. The minimum land required to produce that quantity of power, according to the group, is 1.3 million acres for wind and 136,000 acres for solar. SPP has not publicly confirmed those totals. The group derives them from county-by-county aggregations of SPP generator interconnection queue entries. What happens next is procedural but consequential. SPP itself does not own or build transmission. Its board approves the plan. Staff issue notification to construct letters to member transmission owners within a 4-year financial commitment horizon, and state siting authorities like the Kansas Corporation Commission approve individual line routes. FERC Order 1920. Compliance filings, cost allocation negotiations, and state consultation requirements are ongoing. Landowners and homeowners who want to track it can follow SPP's ITP notices and Stand for the Land Kansas's county-by-county spreadsheets. And now, Kim's perspective. When Washington writes a 20-year planning rule that tells regional grid operators they must assume state decarbonization mandates as a given, and when those mandates point capital at utility-scale wind and solar, the predictable consequence is a map of the Midwest covered in industrial installations and the transmission spines to move their output. Kansas then exempts that new generation from property tax for 10 years. So the farmers and homeowners who remain on the rolls carry the schools and roads and the sheriff's department on a smaller base, with county budgets pinned in place by levies written before the exemption landed. The legal authority to run the wires across a neighbor's wheat field is already on the books in KSA 17618, available to any utility that secures a Kansas Corporation Commission Certificate of Public Convenience, and the siting question comes after the federal planning question has already been decided. The people who designed this stack of rules did not walk a fence line in Marshall County before they drew it, and they did not have to, because Order 1920 sends the 20-year horizon down from Washington while the tax bill flows up from the county courthouse. Virginia Masha walks those fence lines, and she is right to notice that a plan labeled reliability at one end of the pipeline can feel like an expropriation at the other, and right to bring that observation to a radio audience whose food and electricity both come from the land she is trying to keep in production. For the full article with sources and links, visit kimmonson.com. This has been a Kim Monson National News Briefing.